1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Now, the church at Corinth was one of the churches that Paul spent a lot of time at. It's not like he stopped in for a week or two, went ahead and sowed the word of the gospel and then moved on. We know that there were four letters written to the Corinthians. Only two of them survived, and then one of them is kind of merged into one of the two letters that we have today. But there was a lot of work put in to the church in Corinth. And yet it seems that that is the church that gave Paul the most problems. Not that they all didn't give him problems. I mean, everybody, like I said before, if you have one person in your church, you'll have perfect unity. As soon as you get that second person going to your church, you're going to have arguments and confusion. That's just human nature. And I'm just praying, oh Lord God, one of these days, let us be able to have victory over our human nature so that we can appreciate all the wonders that you have for us as your children. As long as we concentrate and keep looking at the things that make us different, then we're not going to be the overcoming church. And we had one group of people that asked us to come to their church. They called it the Overcoming Church. And we came in for a year. I understood that I was literally their hired gun. They chased off the last pastor, couldn't get anybody else to come in, and so they came to me. And I said, I know that you're not looking for a pastor. I know you're looking for a yes man who is just going to tickle your ears on Sunday mornings. And, make you feel good when you leave here. That's not me. But, since I'm not doing anything else right now, I'll come in and be your hired gun. And I stayed for a year, preached the Word of God, and they were so impressed with the preaching of God's Word, they decided to vote me out. Huh? What? Yeah. For some reason, I'm not known to pull my punches, and so when the word is actually talking about specific people in the congregation, I don't gloss over it lightly. And didn't bring me into their dearest regards, let's put it that way. And so the year was up, and they said, okay, Pastor Dale, we're going to have a vote. It's in the Constitution. We're going to have a vote, up or down. You're here or you stay, or you go. And so I said, that's fine, go ahead and have your vote. So it was on a Sunday night. They're going to have their vote. Well, I showed up. He says, well, Pastor, what are you doing here? He says, well, you're having a vote. He says, yeah, but, we're voting on you. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to vote, but my family's members of the church, are they not? Well, yes. And, okay, well, then, if you're going to have an honest vote, you've got to let my family vote. So we had a vote. I won the vote. And afterwards, they came up and said, well, they were all disappointed. They thought they got rid of me. Well, you won. What are you going to do now? I said, me? I quit. I told you I'd be your pastor for a year, and that's it. You guys, you are not the overcoming church. You are the overcame church. And they continued on for a while, and they would hire, under shepherds, people that would come along and preach to them the way they liked, or if that didn't happen, then they'd have that annual vote and bring in somebody else. And, it really wasn't about the word, it was about, tickle my fancy. Make me feel good so I can leave this place knowing that God loves me because I feel so good. How many of you ever got spanked as a child? Okay. Now, I'm not talking about just a ruthless, shameless beating. There are some parents that were like that. I'm just talking about loving parents. The way they were raised. That's the way that I was raised. So when I did wrong, they had a little something to accentuate the lesson. Okay? And, but see, if God really loves you, then he's going to discipline you. He's going to, you know, but you've got to be his child, because the devil don't spank, or excuse me, God don't spank the devil's kids. Okay? And so I leave that church, and they're just fat and happy, and just happy beyond belief that they finally got rid of me or whatever. And I'm saying, well, God's not spanking them. I'm gone, so I'm not spanking them. How come they're not getting spanked? Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay. And that leads into what we're talking about this morning. The epistle of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 8. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Okay? That is as clear and as simple as the apostle can make it. It says, when you go to your homes and you're doing this and that or whatever, that's one thing. But when it comes to church, when it comes to your relationship to Jesus Christ, and it comes to your relationship with each other in the body of Christ there in Corinth, there should be no divisions. You should be of the same mind. That's why in this church we have chosen not to be influenced by denominational differences. Okay? Yeah, some churches do some things this way and some churches do some things that way. We have chosen just to do what the Word of God has, and we don't say, oh, they do this and they're so wrong when they do that. Man, it's a matter of faith. Okay? If this is what you see when you read God's Word, and you in all honestly, earnestness and faith, you know, follow that to the best of your ability, then God is going to bless that. The whole world might be in opposition to you, but if you read that and you have peace with God in that, and you follow that and live your life by that, that will give you a blessing. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? So if God is telling you to do something, whether it's in the Bible or not, and you say, I don't feel comfortable doing that, what will people say? All right, well, okay, told you to do something, you know it's right, you know what to do right, but do it not, to him it is sin. All right, and so, you know, I only ask, that's why when we have communion, we haven't talked about communion much, but when we have communion, some churches teach that when we pick up this bread, that it is the body of Christ. Now, different denominations have different mechanisms whereby that happens. And in the Catholic Church, it is the prayer that the priest says that turns that into the body of Christ. That's why when Catholic priests are ordained, their hands are anointed with oil. Why? Because they're going to take those hands and bless the sacrament, and it's going to become the body and blood of Jesus. That's what that church believes. Okay? Other churches, Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, Assemblies of God, you know, some good-sized churches, they believe that these are just emblems. That the bread represents the body of Christ, that the grape juice represents the blood of Christ. All I can say is that that's how you have experienced God's grace in your life, then in faith, do it. Because if you compromise on that and you say, well, pastor says, just for instance, pastor says it is the body and blood of Jesus, and I'm really not comfortable with that, but since pastor's kind of insisting that it is, I guess I'll kind of go along with it. See, Jesus says that's sin. Okay, when you know something, you know to do right, but you don't do it, to him it is sin. So I don't ever want you to compromise your faith. Now, there's faith and there's traditions. Traditions may be Bible-based, and they may not be Bible-based. All right, we're not talking about traditions. but I want you to be true to your faith. And so we welcome everyone for communion. You want to know what pastor's personal conviction is? Yeah, I don't talk about it much, but I'll tell you what it is. I believe that when I take that bread, that if by faith I say this is the body of Christ, then God says, okay, it's the body of Christ. Whenever Jesus healed somebody, what did he say? Your faith has made you whole. It happened by your faith. It happened by faith. And so, what does pastor believe? If I take this bread and I say, body of Christ, and I take it, by faith I say, it still looks like a little round piece of flat bread to me, but if by faith I say this is the body, then it is. And if I take the grape juice and I say, blood of Christ, that's what I think by faith, then God will make that happen. Doesn't have to change its substance. That's transubstantiation, which is originally the Catholic Church held to transubstantiation, that it actually literally became flesh in your hands or blood in your hands. Now they have the term consubstantiation. It exists at the same time as the body and the blood. All sorts of theological mumbo-jumbo that doesn't mean anything to us. Only thing that matters to us is this is what our faith tells us. Amen? And so I tell you, whatever your faith tells you, then by faith you accept this and you are blessed by it, because God blesses faith. God blesses faith. The reason Jesus couldn't bless his disciples all that much is because, what was his one phrase that he said to them all the time? Oh, you of apistos, no faith. The King James is lenient. The King James says, oh, you of little faith. Now, Jesus never said, oh, you of little faith. He called his disciples faithless rascals. Oh, you of no faith. Okay? And so, Christianity works by faith. How do you get saved? Faith. Well, by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? Okay, so that's what we're saying here is, he's talking to these people, and he's saying, I want you to have no divisions, that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Because it has been told to me, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. How bad does things have to get in a church when somebody from a different state reports back to Paul that these people are fighting? That's got to be pretty bad. I mean, you know, nobody else in all of Houston or Katy cares about what happens up here. Alright, we can have the Holy Ghost come down in here and few people might hear about it, but you know, nobody really cares. But things got so bad in Corinth that Chloe's house, which was not in the area, different state, reported back to Paul, oh, it's bad over there. Okay, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is, in case you don't understand, in case you're going to try to weasel out of this, this is what I've heard. Each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. They had already started denominations. Very first century. And what did man do when he got a hold of the Church of Christ? In the very first, one of the very first churches started, they have denominations sprouting up. I'm following Apollos. I'm following Paul. I'm following Cephas, that's Peter, or I'm following Christ. Alright, all of a sudden, one church, four denominations. So what do you think their church dinners were like? Do you think they could leave their differences at, you know, in the sanctuary? Or do you think that they had to try to continue the correctness of their argument when they're having the church dinner? There's divisions. Paul said, it's been reported to me there are divisions among you. So he says, was Paul crucified for you? No. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he's just trying to show them, hey, this is the stupidest thing he's ever heard of. We're just, Apollos was an evangelist. Paul was an apostle. Cephas, that's Peter, he's one of the apostles, all right, and Jesus. Okay, so, yeah, I will say I'm of Jesus. I'm of Christ. All right, that's one thing that I might say, but not to the detriment of everybody else. We're all of Christ. We're not saved in the name of Paul. We're not saved in the name of Peter. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Who are we baptized by? We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Peter, Paul, and Cephas, and Apollos. Okay? That doesn't happen. And so here we have, in the very first century, we start seeing the trend towards spiritual weakness in the church. Because God's Spirit does not function in division. God's Spirit functions in unity. And let me give you the proof verse for that. And back in Genesis, we see the people of Bethel building a tower. And they're going to build a tower all the way to God, all the way to heaven. Babel, in Babylon. All right? And not Bethel, Babel. And so they started building this temple. And it says in God's Word that God looked down and said, what are we going to do? Because they are united in their purpose. And they are going to be successful in their goal. Not that they're going to build a... You know, we know it's physically not possible. All right. But as far as building a monument that's going to bring everybody together under a God other than Jehovah God, that's what they're going to be successful in. Because they are one mind, they will be successful in anything they put their hand to. So what was God's answer? We will confuse their language. And you know what? This is not just a nice biblical story, because the study of linguistics shows us that you don't have, this language group, coming over here and developing it. It shows that all of them occurred instantaneously. All the different language groups magically appeared at one time. Okay? Then as they divided and went their different ways, different little dialects would come along. But the major languages all popped up at the same time. Why? Because God confounded, in the King James language, confounded their languages. And so God says that when man, even sinful man, becomes united with one purpose, they're going to accomplish that purpose. Well, if God knows that, because that's what he said in Genesis, you think the devil knows it? All right? And so even here, in about 60 A.D., okay, not very far along in the history of the church, the church started in 33.5 A.D., okay? So 34 A.D. is when Jesus ascended and came back down and all that good stuff. And so that was the birthday of the church. So Within 15 years, what do we have? Denominations. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. And the church has never spiritually been the spiritual powerhouse that God wanted it to be. Now, once they went ahead and made Christianity the state religion of Rome, Christianity grew much like Islam grew. You'll be a Christian or you won't. okay? But you won't have any power. You may not take your life, but you're going to be insignificant because now it's the state religion. It has become fashionable to be a Christian. And then, of course, whenever they would invade and conquer another area, then those people must become Christians. And the church found out very early that if you can control the monarchy, then you'll control the rest of the people. And so they put a lot of emphasis on Paul's writings, which says that the kings rule by the favor of the Lord. And that's why we're commanded to pray for those in authority over us. Okay, well, the monarchies took that and perverted it and said, I'm the king because God made me the king. All right? So if God made me the king, he made you the serf. And so you must serve me because it's God's will. And so we had a big growth of the church physically because numbers were being added to the membership list, but it was never spiritually what we saw in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, I mean, we know about what happened in the early church. That's what was happening. And so that went away, and then religion or Christianity as a societal construct took over, and that's how Christianity grew so big. But the church has never been united. I mean, even the Church of Rome with the Church of Constantinople, that's the Eastern Christian Church and the Western Christian Church, they split over the Nicene Creed. The Eastern Church didn't like they thought that the Holy Spirit was getting the short end of the stick in the Nicene Creed, and so it split the church. Split them for over 1,000 years. They just came back together, in the 60s or something like that, where Roman Catholics accepted the Orthodox back into communion. This has been the history of the church. Now, I'm going to have it my way. And if you ever get a chance, you can study the split between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, because it really, if it wasn't so sad, it would have been funny. So the Eastern Church says, okay, I'm the Pope of the Eastern Church, and I proclaim that the Nicene Creed is, heresy. And so the Pope in Rome says, well, I'm the Pope of the Western Church, and I proclaim that you're heresy. And so the Eastern Church comes over, well, I'm the Pope of the Eastern Church, and I proclaim you're a heretic, and I excommunicate you. So now the Pope has to go to hell, right? So this Pope says, no, I'm the Pope, and I excommunicate you. So now you have to go to hell. And so it's kind of like the neighborhood bullies duking it out with their slingshots over who's the... And all it did, the only thing that got hurt was the church, the true church, and it split them up, east and west. One is now called... It's not known as the Eastern Catholic Church anymore, it's the Eastern Orthodox Church. So that has been the history of the church. And so I get excited when I see little churches like ours, where we have everybody represented here. And we can worship God the way that we want to. Like during the song service, Jeanette got up because, man, she was liking this music. And so she got up. Y'all, lucky Joyce wasn't here today. If Joy were here today, Joy can be a distraction at times, okay? Because in the church that she went to, they danced. And so she won't dance up front because she doesn't want to be that big of a distraction. But she'll go out in the hallway, won't she, Bob? Yeah, okay, so she's out in the hallway. Okay, why? Because we don't sit there and say, oh, shame on Sister Joy for doing that. Shame on Sister Jeanette for standing up here. Because we're worshiping God the way that we feel comfortable that we can do with our faith. If that's where your faith leads you in your worship to God, then do it. All right? And we are not one to criticize you. Just think what would happen to Christianity worldwide if we all could get a hold of that. Mm-hmm. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Oh no, heaven forbid, sister, that we let the Holy Spirit have His way. Okay? And, I had a pastor deal exactly that way. Asked me to take the song service. I said, well, you know, these are pretty exciting songs that you're asking me to sing. He said, yeah, I know. Just after each song, stop. Don't let these people get the Spirit. And then go on, because it'll get away from you. And I'm saying, and that's a bad thing? Not talking about a controlling spirit or anything like that, right? And so I said, I will do my best. I didn't. It was bad. All people were waving their hands. It was wonderful. We just blew through all the songs. Didn't stop. He didn't have a chance to get up and say something between each song. So the spirit kind of just led right along. Everybody got blessed. He never asked me to lead the worship service again. Can you imagine that? All right. He came from a church that kind of got out of hand. And so by his own personal experience, he said, well, the way we handle that is we don't let people get led by the Holy Spirit. I will stand up and I will take control. So that won't happen. So I can see how that offers him some security. But, you know, don't you think, you know, that the move of the Holy Spirit wouldn't be a neat thing to happen in your church? Okay? And so you've got all these different reasons why people do the things that they do, and then they just want to go ahead and force that on other people. No, you can't, or yes, you must. And what does it do? It causes division. So we're going to pray, because, you know, we are all different. Every one of us in this room, we've grown up in different areas of the country. We've experienced different things. Eat different food. I happen to like liver and onions. Anybody else like liver and onions? Yeah? Ooh, look at that. Now, there's some people with good taste there. Excuse me. But you probably grew up eating liver and onions. And so that's just, you know, that's become part of us. Doesn't make us good. Doesn't make us bad. It's just we're liver and onions type of people. Okay? And I have found even among liver and onions people, I like mine smothered with brown gravy. It's got to be smothered. I know some people, they eat liver and onions, but don't you dare desecrate their liver and onions with brown gravy. That stays on the mashed potatoes, not on the liver and onions. That's right. It's okay to have differences. Differences doesn't mean wrong or right. It just means that all of us have grown up with different preferences. And that's fine until it comes to the Word of God. Then we do what the Word of God says, and we follow as the Holy Spirit leads us with all of our might, with all of our faith. And if that rubs somebody the wrong way, well, then maybe that's the Holy Spirit telling that person that maybe they're being a little judgmental or condemning if something that another person is doing and they're obviously being blessed by it, and now we're standing in judgment. Maybe it's us that needs to have a little sit down with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, I'm only asking you to know what the Word of God says so that we can do the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You have to know the Word. But after that, we are a people of faith. And you take that word, and as the Holy Spirit reveals that word to you, then you walk in it with every ounce of faith that you have. Amen? Father God, I thank you for your word.